You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In this Because My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from Saturday's crucial match with Ultra.
Hi, I'm Lee Sharp, and you're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to this week's This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. As well as the men's team, later in the show, we'll also be hearing how the women's team fared in Sunday's Argyle Cup match with Blackburn Community. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with under-21 news, as the Reds maintain their lead up at the top of the North West Under-21s Development League following an 8-1 win over Stockport Town, including a hat-trick for Will Ozono. In other news, and FC winger Jamal Crawford has joined Widnes on loan for a month. Crawford has made 20 appearances for FC this season, but has only featured one since the end of November. Whilst manager Neil Reynolds himself has been busy in the transfer market this past week, signing a new goalkeeper, a defender and a striker. Here's Neil speaking on Friday.
First up, goalkeeping, and Andy Fisher's joined us on loan, 20-year-old goalkeeper from Blackburn. I think it's obvious what the thinking is here, but what's the thinking here, Reno, with this signing?
You know, it's the only shirt that I haven't had competition for since I joined, you know, and you know, Lloyd's very, very much been the number one. I've talked about bringing in somebody to compete for that shirt. I haven't hidden the fact that I've been after Fisher for a while now, and you know the deal's been on and off, and thankfully, you know, down to you know for Blackburn Rovers' professionalism, they've allowed Andy to join the squad, and it gives us real quality now in that area. And you know, the decision I've got to make is, you know, who takes the number one jersey tomorrow and then moving forward. But you know, it's no flaw on Lloyd's game, but I just feel that it's an area that I want to. Not necessarily improve, but to add competition to, and that's certainly what I've done. And a goalkeeper of this ilk, you know, Rovers' number three keeper, first team experience. I know how well thought of he is. He'll come in and add that competition.
And just to clarify, on his Wikipedia page, he's down as being 7 foot odd. He's not 7 foot three, is he? That's a
no,
miss. Yeah.
No, he's not 7 foot. He's a big size. He's kind of the stature that you want as your goalkeeper. You know, he's got great build on him, great presence, and you know, I'm sure that the fans will be impressed if they see him play.
Excellent stuff. Right, you touched upon experience there, and in the back four, we had to play O'Halloran last week. He's played more minutes than anyone else this season in FC United colours. But you have strengthened at full-back as we head into this game. Bob Harris, not whispering Bob Harris, but Bob Harris, the left-back. What can you tell us about Bob?
Bob is an out-and-out left-back. And, you know, this is no disrespect to Steve. You know, Steve's been great at centre-half for us this season. But since we lost Thompson back to Rovers, we were looking for a similar type of player. And we got him, Richards, from Norwich. And I think since we lost Caleb back to Norwich, Steve's done great at left-back. But he's very much more of a centre-half. He's done great at left-back. But we kind of lose that attacking flair, if you will, down the left-hand side. Steve tweaked his hamstring. He tried to get through the Boston game last week, and reoccurring injuries probably see him out to 2 or 3 weeks. So we were trying to replace him with, you know, somebody who likes to get forward, who's got that ability. And you know, I've known Bob for a while now, and you know, I know the quality that he possesses. It's only 2 years ago that he played 58 games for, I think, Sheffield United. You know, he's got that experience, and he's trained with the squad this week and fitting superbly well. You know, his ability is outstanding. You know, his left foot delivery, he's got left foot, you know, he's got a wonderful left foot, and he's just fit in and he's really enjoyed training and he's agreed to sign until the end of the season. So, you know, again, that gives us more options down the left-hand side.
There's also been a signing from Radcliffe with Lewis Myers joining us, formerly of Chorley as well, so that's a Chaddy connection right there. What's the thinking behind that particular signing up front?
Left-footed centre-forward, again, another option. He's scoring goals at Radcliffe. He's a local lad, Manchester lad. Spoke to John Macken, I'd watched him, and I asked about his availability. They wanted 7 days, and then out of the blue, you know, John said that he wouldn't step in his way, and you know, he kind of, Lou reminded him, you know, John's words were that he reminds him of himself. You know, that was a compliment that John Macken paid about Louis Mayer. So, you know, once we got the green light yesterday afternoon, Louis came and joined the squad. And again, he's another variation of a front man. He's left-footed. He's great in the air. He links play up very well. He's big, strong, powerful. So, you know, he joins the likes of Sharp, Willoughby, Piers now at the top end to provide us competition and hopefully goals. And I've said that we just need to keep improving this squad. And, you know, we are building for now, but we're building for next season as well. And, you know, I know that some people may be concerned about the number of players that have been used this season. You know, not under my reign necessarily. You know, we're bringing in players now that we feel that will add value and add quality. And also, you know, keep this club in the division next season. And that's what we'll look to do. And, you know, if somebody comes along of the quality we think we can improve the squad, then we're certainly interested in it. And that's exactly what we've done this week. So three brilliant signings, three signings that will all go into tomorrow's squad, and three signings that will hopefully, you know, help us achieve our ambition of getting the 3 points tomorrow.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there on Friday afternoon. To Saturday's football action now, and it was a return to Broadhurst Park for Renault's Reds as FC United hosted promotion-chasing Altrincham. To hear how the match went, it's over to FC Live.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. Did you enjoy Red Rebel Radio last night, Paul?
I didn't actually hear it, to be honest. I missed it.
You're off the team.
I might hear it tonight.
You're off the team. It's a good show, actually. I enjoyed it. Emily Maguire is with us as well. Sat up, Paul. Hello, Emily.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, this afternoon, we're here at Broadhurst Park and I'll come to you first, Paul. Given the results of recent times and how far into the relegation spots we are, if results go a certain way this afternoon, it's looking a bit desperate, isn't it, as we head into these more Brexit-style sunny upland fixtures coming up in the month?
I'm not sure if we're going to go down on March the 29th along with the nation, but I think it's beginning to look a bit terminal in terms of FC survival in the division if we don't win today. And all the runes suggest an away win. But having said all that, Altrincham have played us four times in the past and we're unbeaten. And so you never know.
The stats as well, in the last two away games, Paul, Altrincham have been beaten. FC United have been beaten here many times, so I don't know if that stat's worth anything.
Altrincham's last outing at Leamington was apparently their poorest performance of the season, according to what I heard. So
we've all had bad days at Leamington, in fairness.
Well, we have, yeah. Yeah.
The breaking news heading into this game, though, is we've done it, everyone. Obviously, at the start of the year, and when I mean the start of the year, I mean August, me and Paul sitting on our veranda in town at FCM Radio Towers, thinking to ourselves, could FC United do it this season? Could we reach 53 players used in a season? And you know what? In February, we've done it, Paul.
People laughed, but we've proven them wrong.
Can I just say, this joyous start that we've had all comes about because someone, while I was waiting for my chili con carne in the main stand bar here, said to me, you know, if it gets a bit desperate like it did at Boston last week, stop talking about football. So that's why we've been a bit more bouncy today, in case you're wondering.
There you go.
But breaking news, 53 players used. Three more for you this afternoon. First, an on-loan goalkeeper from Blackburn Rovers, Andy Fisher. Whispering Bob Harris, former Queen of the South, lots of experience at left-back. And a new striker joining us from Radcliffe, Lewis Myers. We obviously heard from Renault on the pre-match build-up.
And also in front of the main stand down here. So
I'm not sure what to make of all these signings, to be honest, Paul. I'm sure they're good players, but it does feel like we might not necessarily be building for this season now.
No, it does make you wonder whether it's a bit like a series of trial matches for the Northern Premier League at times.
I mean, the goalkeeping question, Andy Fisher, people might remember the interview we did a while ago.
I was going to say that it seems to me it's good to get somebody else in, a bit of competition, but it's what, 3 or 4 weeks too late for that kind of competition. You see the errors that have been made, and they could end up being quite costly, those sort of things that have already happened. Is it, you know, we are in a desperate situation, and I think that's why he's got players in, because he's desperately trying to dig something out. When you're at the bottom, you get no luck.
I mean, we did say last week that, you know, the players that we've got now, the side on paper is a lot better than it was in August, in all fairness, but 3 managerial changes, 53 players, a 6 points inside the relegation zone,
we could have Messi
in midfield. The backdrop is the key, and the momentum's the key. Can we kick start the season?
You see, I thought the victory at Bradford Park Avenue might have been the one to turn things around. A bit of confidence, a good performance against the team flying high in the league. But it's difficult. It's been difficult for the manager coming in the circumstance that he did. And he's doing everything that he can to change it around. Some of the performances that we've put in have been excellent. So we can't take that away from them. We just can't get the victories.
And, it's interesting who we're playing today, Altrincham. And Altrincham are doing very well this season. But let's remember where they were 2 years ago. And Phil Parkinson at Alti and Neil Saville. If you do get relegated, not that I'm suggesting that, I'm being a bit defeatist considering it's February. But
yeah,
what I'm trying to say is that, you know, what Altrincham have done this season is pretty exceptional, in all fairness.
Yeah, we have to remember how difficult this division is, and also how difficult Northern Premier is below it. And for Altrincham to competing for the playoffs now is pretty good from their point of things, considering they only got back in the division this season. But obviously there's a lot of points to be played for at both ends of the table, and whether Altrincham will sustain the challenge remains to be seen.
Interestingly, I was speaking to Phil before kickoff, because obviously I've had a good natter on the NPL show. He was talking about Zen Mohamed and Sass Davis, and how, you know, if you keep hold of them two, I think you'll be all right. And, you know, I'm fed up with saying it. The pair of them have just been brilliant.
But what we really need next season is season-long loans if we're going to go down the loan route. These monthly loans, really, are just not... They're not helping with the continuity.
When you're trying to gel a team and get players... playing regularly with one another, you need that consistency with the new performances.
Well, the teams are coming out onto the pitch now as I hand the team sheet to a great non-league manager, John Flanagan's here, but FC United coming out onto the pitch wearing all red, and we're playing against the Cadbury's 11. That's an interesting shade of purple. Emma Led, I mean, what are you hoping for other than 3 points?
that's all you can hope for now. That's what we need the most. I love watching good football and I want a good performance, but I'd be happy to take a terrible performance and a win.
Free kick anyway, which Fisher takes. Fisher now down the right side, the ball goes. Piers doesn't win that ball. Into midfield, the ball goes. Sass Davis clears it. Morton wins the header. Whittam can't bring the ball under control, and Johnston plays the ball first time infield to Hancock. Hancock now, nice bit of skill there, and Johnston keeps his run going, and Harrop's in space. Good control from Harrop, who's one-on-one, and a great save for Fisher. Johnston's there. It goes right through Fisher, and on the line there was Mohamed, but there was far too much on that shot, and into the bottom corner the ball goes, and Altrincham on 25 minutes are taking the lead. Emily.
It was a fantastic attack from Altrincham. They've done it again. They've had players forward. They've found the space. He had two options there either side of him that he could have played the ball. The first save from Andy Fisher was fantastic. And they did get the players back behind the ball, FC, and they got them in. But the power that the shot was, you know, it just drilled across the floor. And that's exactly what you'd want, you know, your striker to do, just drill it in. It was enough bodies for me that could have done something about that, but I think it took a slight deflection before it reached Fisher. It went through Fisher, and then players were unsighted.
And to be fair, John deserved that goal. That running.
Yeah,
good there,
well,
was
that's
superb,
it. I mean, it is. It's not against them in a play. They've opened FC up a couple of times. It's the first opportunity that they've had on, like that I've seen on target. Yeah. Is it? But they have looked the better team going forward in terms of finding the space.
Well, it's a free kick to Altrincham, and we're into the last 15 minutes here at Broadhurst Park. Obviously trailing by 1-0, but it's been a much better second half. But at the moment, not too many chances created by the team in red. Wallen wins the ball in midfield there, gets it to Piers. Piers tries to find Wallen again, but it breaks down in midfield. Whittam's there, but the Hancock is strong. And now the ball played out to Johnston, who's in space, and that's not the man you want to find in space if you're an FC United defender. Johnston now crossing that ball in, far too close to Fisher, who plays the ball out first time. And now it's with Whittam. Whittam now in the right back position. Plays a long ball forward towards Piers. What can Piers do? Tries to flick that ball infield, but gets to the second ball. Piers infield, plays it to Wallen. Wallen out towards the left-hand side. Nice ball there by the Australian. Finds Donoghue. Donoghue now looking to take on his man. Towards the byline he goes. Donoghue crosses this ball in. Who's it going to break to? It's cleared. There's Morton winning the ball back to Piers on the edge of the box. Here's Whittam now. Whittam. It's a wall of purple FC United being met with here. Wallen back out to the left hand side to Donoghue. Donoghue on his right foot crosses this ball in. There's Whittam!
Yes!
It's an equaliser from the loanee from Charlie. And FC United are back in this game. It's one apiece.
Absolutely fantastic. Exactly what they've been building up to. You know, they're getting bodies in the box. They're putting Altrincham under pressure. I thought Altrincham had defended that, you know, really well. You know, forcing the ball back out wide, but a fantastic ball in. And as soon as Whittam rose, you knew that there was only one place it was going to go.
Right there, Paul.
Got to go on and win it now.
77 minutes. That's the equaliser. And to say FC United have deserved it would be an understatement, as York have gone 1-0 up against Ashton United. But Alti are a very, very effective team. They have gone deeper and deeper as this half gone on, though, but I'm sure they'll be a bit annoyed with themselves after that goal. But a great header from Whittam, and what a cross in from Donoghue as well, I should say. But 1-0 the score, and plenty of time for both teams to try and take 3 points from this one. Throw in taken. Wallen wins the header. Piers comes back for it, but then loses out though there, and the ball breaks into midfield. The ball comes, and it's with Williams. Williams looking for the overlap there from White. White from distance. And hits Mohamed. A wicked, wicked deflection, and into the bottom corner the ball goes. That is so, so unlucky. 82 minutes, and Alti are taking the lead again.
You just can't believe the luck sometimes. You know, they've played themselves back into the game. FC United have been the better side this second half. The pace they've played with, you know, the determination, the drive, and they've defended superbly, and that's a wicked deflection. You know, he stood in front of him as a defender. He's got to have something on the ball, and you just know that when you're in this position, you see all the time with teams at the bottom that things like that always seem to happen to them.
But I think Fisher had it covered as well.
He did,
and the deflection took it into the far corner.
We're into the last 90 seconds of normal time. SC trailing unfairly by 2-1. And here's Mohamed now. Mohamed down the right hand side. The ball goes to Sharp. Sharp can hold this ball up. Shields this ball. And back it goes to Morton. Morton takes the touch. Finds Whittam in space. Whittam now looking for any form of red shirt. And here's Wallen offering an option. Finds Sharp on this right hand touchline. Sharp with a couple of step overs. Still with the ball. Still with the ball. He's tackled.
He's still had to get something. It's in those areas where he's looking for that runner just to overlap.
That's 30 seconds of normal time. SC trailer by 2-1. It's a throw-in. Morton to take it. 8 or so yards from the Altrincham corner flag on this main stand side. Morton with a long throw-in. Who's under it? Sass Davis is there. The header's won though by an Altrincham player. Wallen's there. The ball's going to break to Sass Davis. Gets it to Whittam. Whittam now lost the ball out to his right hand side to Morton. Morton back to Wallen. Wallen first time crossing. Oh, it's headed clear there by Williams. And good control there by Wallen. A 1-2 between Morton and Wallen. Wallen to Whittam. To the byline it goes. Back to Wallen. Wallen crosses this ball in. Who's he going to get to? It's Mohamed. Handball! Oh my goodness. It was a blatant handball. But the ball carries on. Morton with a cross in. Oh, there's Sass Davis. And I tell you what, that was the most obvious handball you could possibly ever see.
right in front of the linesman, right in front of the referee, nothing given. Cross comes in by Donoghue to the back post. That is terrible. That is terrible.
Well, we know the assistants have been consistent all game.
Yeah.
That is terrible. Absolutely appalling.
Thank you very much for your support.
Well, the 90 minutes are up.
It's crazy because you can sometimes understand if they are unsighted, but it couldn't have been clearer.
It's so blatant. The 4 minutes of added time is now up. It's now a case of how much time the referee is willing to add on. Cross comes in. Ball breaks to Wallen. Oh, yeah.
10 seconds.
10 seconds. When a player is down for 2 minutes during stoppage time, and okay, Ultrigan win by 2-1.
That doesn't tell anything.
It does not tell the tale of this game.
You just have no luck,
Emily. My stock value in referees has gone down in a couple of people's minds, but
yeah,
there's a couple of questionable calls.
There was questionable today. I normally would, you know, your referee is there just to make sure that the game is kept flowing, and you wouldn't mind if he was, you know, making the decisions for both teams. But there was some big decisions there that he didn't see. He's not helped out by his assistants. But you know, we can't look to that as a reason that we haven't won today.
Although the penalty would have helped.
The penalty would have helped, but you've got to score it.
Yeah, that's true. I know we now look at the minute. It would have, Lou would have got a new ball at the Miners, wouldn't he?
I think the first half, I think we can, if we comment on FC United's first half, they didn't play with any pace.
Well, going back to the start of the game, three new signings in the starting 11.
Yeah,
you know, Winter's been dropped in as well.
Yeah,
that takes time. But as that first half got on, FC United came more and more into it.
They got more into it, but they were still slow. They weren't quite at the pace. Altrincham were leading the way in terms of the pace, and we didn't match them. You know, they looked the better team that first half going forward, but they didn't create a lot. They didn't create any clear cut opportunities, Altrincham, and to go in at 1-0. Yeah, they probably edged it in that first half, but I thought the way FC came out in that second half, you saw that, you know, and I was saying that the change was a real positive one. You know, the pace of Sharp, the determination, he did seem to then almost galvanise the rest of them, you know, within the first few minutes of him being on. They could see that the pace was upped. And the desire came flooding back throughout the whole of the team. And I think it was only Ultrigan maybe had a couple of free kicks early on, but they didn't really do anything else in that second half. They had nothing else
deep,
of the ball.
FC United really did crank up the tempo.
They just absolutely... And they should have been playing like that in the first half. They should have had that pace in the first half, and it would have been a different outcome. But having said that, we did everything and we did enough to have won the game today based on, you know, overall performance, first half, second half. Utterly, utterly devastating blow when you can't do much about it. As a defender, you're stood in front of the guy who's taking a shot, and it's a wicked deflection. And I mean, he's had a fantastic game as well, and it's utterly disappointing.
There's no way on earth. Does it go down as an own goal? I mean, it would be harsh, wouldn't it?
I've not given it as an own goal, but I was thinking if...
The shot was on target. It was heading towards the goal, but I think it did definitely need that deflection to take it in.
I think Renault should definitely not buy any lottery tickets at the moment.
When you look out, it really is, and it's hard. It's really hard, and it's difficult to dig yourself out a win because they did everything. They did everything right in that second half going forward. They went forward with pace. They pinned Ultrigan back throughout the whole of that half. They weren't able to create enough, but that was because they had Ultrigan had all their players behind the ball, and it's always difficult to break down. And then, you know, there are big decisions in the game that have gone against us.
It's such a blatant handball, though.
It is, and it does it doesn't just change the game; it does change the season. You know, and there's been a couple of times where we can look back and we can see that because that's the sort of look that you need to help you. You know, we were talking, you know, what can FC United do? They're pretty much putting it together on the pitch. The first half, we probably should have played with faster tempo, and we might have seen a different result. But he's made the change at half time, and whatever whatever they've said to each other in there, it has worked because they've come out looking like a different side. And you know, you think that you're doing everything, you get back into the game with some fantastic football, a great ball in from Donoghue and a fantastic header from Whittam, and you think that's it. You think the momentum's with you, and you're going to keep going and pushing on, and you deserve,
and
you deserve
memory
it
as well. That was one of Altry's last few attacks that they had in that.
Yeah, they did very little in the second half. I thought what Altrincham did was, because of the two injuries in the first half, I think they went over cautious in the second half and went into retreat mode and invited FC into the game, and FC took the opportunity but didn't have the killer touch. And it's very cruel to get an equaliser like that and then concede with a very, very tragic, unfortunate deflection a few minutes later. And it'd be hard for the players and the manager to take this, but I think they've got to try and take some positives from it. Second half has been much improved from other second halves in recent weeks.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it, Emily? I mean, actually, Paul, I'll come to you because you've got to go in a second, so I'm going to have 10 more minutes, Emily, after you've gone. The thing is that we needed a springboard into the 6-pointers that are coming up.
Yeah.
Alti was really the last of the tricky games up until Telford away. We've got the possibility of getting 9 points against teams. It was generous to say that they're around us, but it would mean that we could claw back some lost ground over the festive period. We did get that springboard today, despite the result.
Yeah, I think morale-wise, there were good things in that game. It's the trouble is the games are running out. There's only 12 games left now, and we seem to be locked permanently on 24 points. And it's this stage of the season.
The thing is, I think we all said, didn't we say 48 points to stay up?
Or you were talking points? 48, yeah.
Yeah, and that's double the points teller that we've got in there. But that team there is capable.
If they can carry some belief into the next game, which is another home game, and get a result, then you just don't know, do you? You just don't know. But the shots on target ratio.
I was about to ask you,
and that's something for the manager to look at, I think.
Three shots on target. Despite all that pressure.
What is it, 8 corners?
Yeah, 8 corners. You know, we had 10 just shots off target as well.
We just don't test the keeper enough, and that's something that needs to be addressed.
I mean, to be fair to Whittam, he couldn't get it further away from the keeper if he tried, could he? It was right inside the post.
But yeah, that was one of the rare spot-on deliveries from out wide, isn't it? But
Paul, before you go, your closing thoughts and it's
very, very disappointing. I mean, I think that, you know, last week at Boston, at the final whistle, we accepted we didn't deserve anything from the game. Today, like a few games in recent weeks, I include the game at York, where we dominated for long periods. We just don't have the killer touch, and that's going to cost us dear at the end of the season, perhaps.
New signings, what did you make of them?
I thought the left back Harris played very well. Didn't really see enough of Myers to form an opinion, although he had a golden chance in the first half.
And Fisher, you can't be
Fisher couldn't be faulted for either goal. He made a save for the first goal, and they forced in a rebound. And the second one, well, he was rooted because the deflection took it into the other side. So yeah, I thought his handling was good. I thought he looked very confident as a keeper. His distribution was good.
Well, Paul, thank you for joining us. We'll be hearing from Paul again tomorrow on Women's Team Live. It's FC United Manchester's Women's Team against Blackburn Community. Full commentary coming your way from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But Emily Maguire is still with us. And Emily, I gave you an opportunity there to take a breather. You know, because it's difficult to do this post-match stuff when you've just watched a match like that. But
it is. It's getting harder and harder every week.
I mean, that's the thing, we're running out of road. I did play the song Road to Nowhere today by the Talking Heads, and apparently we did cut out midway through that second half for a split second or two, and that meant Road to Nowhere did come on. But we are running out of that road, aren't we?
We are, yeah. Yeah, it's difficult.
Beautiful metaphor, that, by the way, wasn't it?
It's one of them where you say keeping the belief, and it's hard for us. So you can imagine the players put everything into that, and you can see... and throughout that second half. And you can see that the quality is there and that they're capable of doing it. It's consistency throughout games, making sure that they keep that tempo all the way through. But it's becoming increasingly harder and harder, and for even us, like I say, to look at it and look ahead and think, no, that we can get the points, we can get ourselves out of it, we can play well enough to deserve to. But, you know, it does become harder and harder, and all the teams at the bottom will tell you it.
Well, that's the other problem, though. Apart from Nuneaton, I mean, York, despite being beaten midweek against Hereford, they've got a 2-0 defeat, 2-0 win against Ashton United this afternoon. And Geisler drew 1-1 with Stockport.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And, you know, and these are the... This is what we're up against. There's, I mean, it's difficult to stay up here, and it's going to be tricky now to interview Renault after that one, but Renault's coming up the stairs now. Okay, okay, no. Let's do this. All right. Is everyone sitting comfortably at home? Then
There's a lot of things to comment on, isn't there? I think.
Let's do this, everyone. Right, okay. Here we go, everyone. This is the post-match reaction now from Mr. Neil Reynolds, and it's going to be an interesting one. Take a seat here, my friend, if you can. Hi, Neil. So, let's try and start from the beginning, and you know, build our way to anger towards the end. Okay, right. So, three new introductions to the side, and obviously that takes time. But as that first half went on, we got there and we started to play. That must be pleasing.
So I don't want to be accused of saying the same things every week because I know some people say that, but I'm genuinely lost for words this week, and I don't know what to say because I just don't know what to say. I was dead happy with the three new introductions. I was happy with everybody. There wasn't one thing that I was disappointed with today. Not one thing. Apart from
Sorry. The first goal. I mean, Altrincham are blessed with two fantastic wingers, Harrop and Johnston. They switch wings. That goal, that summed up afternoon in a way. I mean, it was a great save from Fish in the first place. There's a sea of red shirts in the way, and that shot went pretty much the only place it could go to go in. And
it did, you know, and that's probably the only thing that they did all half. And, I mean, what's Fisher done today? You know, the goalkeeper, apart from the save he's made off there, I don't think he's done a great deal. And is that our luck that goes against us? It goes through the red shirts. But do you know what? More than that, we go 1-0 down, and we didn't lose that belief. We didn't, you know, I talked about the mental toughness, the psychological side, and we've done a lot of work this week, and we didn't lose belief. We came out second half.
The second half was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was fantastic. I thought, you know, the changes that you made initially.
I mean, just to ask about the Sharp substitution, was that planned or?
No, we lined up 4-2-3-1, but we just wasn't being able to get our 10 on the ball. And I thought if we could stretch play, pin the back four back even further, maybe get Donners higher, maybe get Peasy higher, and that was the thought of the introduction of Sharp, and it worked. And unfortunately, you know, I didn't want to play Kurt in the 10, I wanted him to play down the middle, which meant Sharp drops out today, but his attitude was great. He comes on second half, and you know, we did everything right. We stretched play, we scored a great goal, and I thought, here we go, there's only one team going to win it.
And at that point, you know, momentum's on our side. I mean, all two were going deeper and deeper. The gap between the midfield and the defence and their forward line was becoming a bit of a chasm. And then they go on a rare attack in that second half and get a horrible, horrible deflection. There's nothing you could do about that, really, is there?
Gutty for Zen. I thought he was magnificent again today. Even Billy Sass, actually, when he come on. And I think, you know, he thinks he's going across play. I think Fisher's got it covered at the far side. And Zen, you know, it's just reaction. You can't stop yourself being reaction. And it sits him and it goes the other way. And looks not on our side. And it goes in the bottom corner. And there we are. We're 2-1 down. And, you know, we're going to lose the game.
But you had a response. You wanted a response anyway from your post-match interview last week and what you said in the programme today and your pre-match thoughts as well. You wanted your team not to have their heads dropped. That goal could have easily made your team be deflated, but they went for it, and then there's a very contentious decision made in the penalty area. I mean from your angle down there, you've probably got the same view as the linesman who's not flagged for anything all game. You don't have to say that, I just said that. But that's a handball, isn't it?
It's a penalty all day long. Zen flips it over his head. He uses the ball controller to take the... It's in the referee's 5 yards away from it. The linesman's level we play with it. I mean, do us a favour. you know, don't, just do us a favour. You've had a shambolic 90 minutes, so just do us one favour and get involved. I mean, the linesman hasn't even moved his arm all half, and the referee, I thought after the first minute things were going against us, but you know, even for as bad as officials can be, and I said to the referee coming out, everyone has a bit of a, you know, a poor performance, and we've had them, but to miss that in front of his nose, that's unforgivable. It's unforgivable.
Now, just to say, so you don't get into trouble.
Sorry, yeah.
You're just quoting back my commentary there,
right? That's exactly what I'm doing, yeah.
Right. The other thing was as well, I mean, there was 4 minutes added. There was an injury right down here, and the referee doesn't appear to have added that time on. I've just said that. I don't expect you to offer a thought on that. But that's very frustrating, and I think that we had a similar conversation at Edgar Street with the same kind of officiating there, but...
I asked him that question, but he told me he didn't want to speak to me. So, okay. You know, but he's gone from a referee that wants to speak before the game to not wanting to speak to me after the game. I don't know. You know, but I'm not going to bemoan them. They've done what they've done. They've had an off day. I can only praise the lads today. They've had a real go. You know, they've given absolutely everything. And when you look at it on paper, Stockport, who were second, Boston, I think, might have gone in the playoffs. Ultracombe, who were in the playoffs, we've lost by a goal. We've lost by one goal. But there's not a great deal of difference here. And what I liked today was... I could see my side beginning to develop. So, you know, with Fisher, back with Zen and Sass Davis and Bob coming in and Danny, you know, we lining up with Dale in the middle of the park and Sharp coming on. I could see signs of things developing. It wasn't to be. And you know, I don't want to sound like I'm saying the same thing. That team is good enough. And I believe that the management team is good enough. It's just a matter of time of turning around and getting a little bit of lady luck and,
well,
you know,
that's the thing. We don't really have the time now, unfortunately. We've got three vitally important games coming up. I said to you last week, you want a springboard really into these games. If we can get anything from Ulti, great. But Ulti are where they are in the league, and it's going to be tough. But we need a performance. We got that performance today, didn't we? Mm. It could be, like I said, when the deflected goal went in, it could be easy to become deflated. It could be easy to become deflated when the penalty doesn't happen and be frustrated about that. What's the mood like in the dressing room as we head into Guiseley at home next week?
The mood's positive. I've just gone in there and I've said, look at me. You know, look at me, look at each other. You know, however you prepared individually and collectively for this game, how you've got round each other, you've got to bring that for the next 12 games. I've said we need 7 wins. You know, we've said we need 7 wins. Now the job gets a little bit tougher. It's 7 wins out of 12. But what a party it'll be if we got 7 wins out of 12. And I've just said to the lads, you know, there's only us. You're going to feel this for the rest of your lives. If you get a relegation, it's going to be you. But if you bring that, what you brought today, if you bring what you brought against Stockport, if you bring what you brought in patches, you know, in the other, in Bradford, etc., we'll be all right. I still believe, and that's what everyone said in there, we'll be all right. If we bring what we just brought today against Guiseley next week, then... You know, I think this place will be rocking come quarter to five. I've said to the lads, if you have got any seed of doubt that you don't feel that you can beat Guiseley, then let me know, because I need lads that are all geared in one direction. You know, the 23 of us down today, injuries and people being left out and rotation, but I need all 23 having the same message. And you know, I'm not, no disrespect to Guiseley and Yorks and Nuneaton's and Southports and stuff, but these are the teams that are coming, and it's not Bradford now, and it's not Stockport, and it's not Chorley, and it's not Altrincham. We've got a chance, and we've shown with the top sides we can go toe to toe. We've beaten the bottom sides when we beat Hereford and we beat Blythe, etc. When they were down there, we've now got to go and put it to the sword and just go and play with freedom and go and play, but with freedom, but also that pressure that we desperately don't want to go down. We desperately don't want to do. And you see with the lads' reactions at the end of the game, you know. I'm devastated for everybody. Devastated for everybody, but I'm going to pull so many positives out of this, because I think that was my team there, and I think they played the way, you know, what I stand for, and that was energy, enthusiasm, passion, and having a style of play. And you know, I can only credit them for doing that. And you know, roll on next Saturday. Next Saturday can't come quick enough. It can't come quick enough for me.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for coming up. desperately unlucky today, but it is a case of onwards and upwards. That was a brilliant second half display, and hopefully we could build on that for next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining.
Thanks very much. Thanks, mate.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do, I think, for our FC Live broadcast, Emily. any closing thoughts?
No, just reiterate that. I mean, you can take so much from the game. It is utterly disappointing, and it does get harder to watch and put yourself through it, but you could see that, especially the second half, this team has got the quality to stay up and stay in this league. So a bit of luck as well along the way, and a win next weekend.
Well, as the lights have gone off here at Broadhurst Park, the only light shining is the one underneath Keg's cabin over there in the distance. But it has finished here. FC United and Manchester 1, Altrincham 2. Desperately, desperately unlucky stuff this afternoon. We're going now. Women's Team Live will be returning tomorrow, live from Broadhurst Park, as FC United will be hosting Blackburn Community in the Argyle Cup. Full commentary coming your way from 2 o'clock. And FC Live will be returning next Saturday, 2:30, for FC United against Guiseley. But from everyone here at Broadhurst Park, we wish you all a fond farewell. Take care. Bye-bye.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon following FC United's unlucky 2-1 defeat against Altrincham. Next up for FC will be a proper relegation six-pointer as we host Guiseley at Broadhurst Park. Admission is pay on the gate, £12 for adults, £7 concessions, £3 under 18s. Kick-off this Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. So can FC United get those 7 wins before the end of the season? Paul and Ben spoke on Sunday to assess FC United's chances.
For those people who are tapping their speakers at this moment in time going, is Paddy Crerand on FC Radio? Is that what's happening here? This is a bit of positivity, so brace yourselves, everyone.
We've looked at Ashton and Guiseley's running, haven't we?
And it's not the best of runnings. So if FC United can get a run going here, it could get a bit twitchy. Renault says 7 wins out of the last 12. We've looked, there is 7 wins there. But
it could be 6. I mean, we're looking at potentially 42 points may be enough this season. Looking at Guiseley and Ashton's fixtures, obviously there's an absolutely critical game with Guiseley next Saturday to kickstart the survival fight. But
not to be too dramatic, because, you know, Jim White doesn't volunteer on FC Radio and we don't do sensationalism or anything like that. But next week, if we win that game, we feel it's on. There's matches coming up which we're not saying FC United are out of completely, but the chances are it's going to be difficult.
There are certain
Kidderminster at home, Brackley away last game of the season, Telford away. But Guiseley at home next week, that's a must-win, Paul, isn't it?
Although, you know, Altrincham beat us for the first time yesterday at the fifth attempt, OK? Now, we've got absolutely nothing from Telford over the years, but these records are there to be broken, just like Altrincham broke the record yesterday against us. So who knows? We might just have a good day at Telford, just for the once, you know? I don't know how much we'd celebrate on the bus coming back, but we'd certainly celebrate. There are exceptions. I mean, like Brackley, I'm still convinced we will never, ever get anything out of Brackley. You know, if we go there for the next 50 years, we may never win at Brackley. But that's just one of those things.
Now, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's from someone who says it's the hope that kills you. And
yeah, I mean, the disturbing thing is we get to the last game of the season at St James Park. We travel 150 miles or whatever it is, some silly distance. What is it, 60 miles from London?
Yes.
Something like that. And we go all that way with a faint hope that if we win and everybody loses 4-0 or something, that we can miraculously pull off something special.
And we don't want that, do we?
I think we'd rather know our fate before the last game. Well, one way or the other. If we're down, at least we can go to Brackley and enjoy the day and say, well, we've got nothing to lose here.
Don't get too carried away. I don't think anyone's going to enjoy the day. But anyway, let's run you through the fixtures that are coming up for FC United, because while it's doom at the moment, I think there is an air of positivity from that performance yesterday. And, you know, I think
with a bit more luck,
and a referee who's got eyes, who can see a clear on ball.
We were chronically short of luck yesterday.
Guiseley at home on Saturday, live here at Broadhurst Park. Get down here. Then it's Southport away. It's already been earmarked by a lot of fans from yesteryear who keep their hand in at the club that is going to be a big day out.
It's a bit of a Euro away.
It's a Euro away. Everyone's going to the Lancashire coast on the 23rd of February. Then it's Hereford at home. I think Southport might be a push, but I think if we put a performance on like we did yesterday in the second half, we can certainly beat Hereford and we can beat Guiseley.
I think we've already beaten Hereford, so, you know, we've proven we can do that. Southport, we maybe should have beaten them here, to be honest.
Yep. Then it's Telford away, and we're not saying we'll get points in that
one. We're laying no bets on that one.
No bets on that one.
No.
Then it's York at home.
Well, we should have won at York.
Right
on the sixth, in the middle of March, it's York at home.
We outplayed them.
We did outplay them, and we owe them one. Then, on the 23rd of March, it's Curzon Ashton away.
Okay, yeah. Well, we've already beaten Curzon.
So that's five wins. Then it's Nuneaton at home.
Nuneaton, well, Nuneaton, bottom of the table. Lost, shipped another five goals in yesterday. We always struggle to beat these sides at the bottom of the table. But maybe this is the time.
And then, on the 6th of April, with six wins under our belt out of seven matches,
yeah,
we go to Darlington to not just sample burnt burgers, but also to sample a delightful 3 points and safety, Paul.
Well, again, you know, Darlington, strangely enough, looking at that, I would say we've got more chance of getting a point at home to Kidderminster in the game after it than winning at Darlington. Because Kidderminster don't have a good record against us, do they?
No, they don't.
You know, but for their position, it's ridiculous.
We don't. This is the thing. I think Darlington is where we nail it and we go, done. We're all right here.
We went to Kidderminster this season without a manager.
That's,
and we still won.
Yeah. I'm about a full-strength commentary team. And, you know, Kidderminster on the 13th of April, I think that's a push here at Broadhurst. The last thing we want, because then there's three games left of the season. The last game is Brackley away.
Write that one off.
The last home game is on Bank Holiday Monday, the 22nd against Blyth Spartans. We don't want that game to mean anything. But at the same time, I don't want to have to go to Alfreton and that's the third last game of the season, knowing that we really need a win here because we're not going to get much against Blyth and against Brackley.
It could be that the Blyth game on Easter Monday is the end of the resurrection.
Oh, is that when the buffers, when they hit the buffers? Should they get some of these railway sleepers off the walls now, Paul? Oh, no. Oh.
The script is already written, but never mind.
Well, we gave it a go. I hope you enjoyed that bit of positivity we gave you there. But seriously, Paul, it was handball, wasn't it?
Well, even the referee's assessor apparently agrees. There was only one man in the stadium who didn't. But if you look at both the goals we conceded yesterday, they're both deflected goals, apparently. I don't know if you picked that up.
Yes.
I mean, you know, and when things are going your way in a winning run, these things happen. When you're on a bad run, they always go the other way, don't they?
Well, I shook the hand of Phil Parkinson as he was coming up to talk to the Alti players, and you know, he wished us luck for the rest of the season.
He was relieved.
He grimaced.
Yeah.
When he shook my hand, because he knew
they got out of jail, didn't they?
They did get out of jail. Their promotion campaign lives on. And FC United's relegation battle hits the buffers. But as we've just discussed there for the last 5 minutes or so,
it's not over yet.
The points are there. And Neil Reynolds' post-match interview, which is available on our Audio Boom page now, is well worth a listen because he thinks there's seven wins out of this last 12 matches. And I think looking at the fixtures, he's not wrong. And hopefully there's enough annoyance in that dressing room yesterday to spring us into Guiseley and beyond, Paul.
He may have to start looking at a bit more of a settled team selection.
I wouldn't change it too much from yesterday, to be honest. The way that second half finished.
I think he has to kind of start giving people runs in positions rather than shaking it up too much. I think he has to start putting his faith in certain players and saying, for the rest of the season now, you've got to go out and do it for us.
Women's team news now, and on Sunday afternoon, the Broadhurst Park 3G hosted the Argyle Cup third round encounter between FC United and Blackburn Community. Here's Ben and Paul with all the goals.
Well, there's Tabernier again with that clearance, and Davis has to turn and plays the ball back to Ainsworth. Ainsworth plays the ball to the right back to Jean. Jean can motor forward now towards halfway line. That touch is a bit heavy, but she can check inside and beats the player. And now Jean lofts her pass. Is that going to get to Battle? It's well defended, though, by Blackburn. But that clearance is a loose one picked up by Mather. Shot comes in from Cara Fields. What a finish that was. And it was Shauna Jean who made that move originally from right back, driving forward. And, the ball broke there to Cara Fields, and she belted it, looped it into the top corner, and on 8 minutes, FC United have taken the lead, Paul.
That was a devastating hit from distance, and you could see it looping in the top corner. It was absolutely beautiful.
Well, welcome back, Cara Fields. Tabernier plays a long ball forward, and unchallenged, hardly surprising now, is Davis. Davis to Dale. Dale to Foster. Foster to Carrington. Carrington down the left-hand side of the ball goes to Chambers. Chambers back to Carrington now. Carrington, long ball play forward. Is he going to get to Battle? Battle's onside. Keeper's out. Ricochets off Battle. Battle could comfortably finish that. All the time in the world eventually. And on 63 minutes, FC United have finally got their second goal against a man down, Blackburn Community, Paul.
Well, Battle almost scored a few moments ago when he was put clean through. That time it required two attempts, but perseverance got her into a position where she could fire it into the open goal eventually. And this has been coming probably since the sending off.
Over on that left-hand side, and the ball breaks down, and that's a nice ball over the top there by Foster, and Battle is onside. Battle, one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Can she seal it? Beats the goalkeeper walks into the net, and that is 3-0. And on 70 minutes, that's FC United through to the next round, Paul.
Well, that was a real goal-scorer's goal in that she made absolutely sure it was going in. She took it up to the keeper and beyond the keeper and just had the fresh air to stop her. And Jess Battle has now scored twice and the game is gone.
I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore and ace defender Fran Davis, the ever-present. Keeping a clean sheet again, as we did today, which is what you really need to set out to do in the Cup.
Yeah, like you say, you know, the cup, it's not about goal difference in the cup, but you know, it only takes one goal to win a game. We preach that all the time every week with the girls, the team. It was quite tough today, the conditions were quite tough, but at the end of the day, like I say, it's not really about the result. We're through to the next round and that's it.
Yeah, certainly Cara's early effort was an absolute blinder, really, wasn't it? I mean, that was a top goal, but yeah, it looked quite difficult at the other end there. Fran didn't really harass us too much, but you looked a bit busy-ish.
Yeah, so I don't think in terms of them like directly attacking us, they weren't that strong, but with set pieces they've got a lot of height, so that was really a bit more of an issue for us, but we did seem to deal with it quite well.
Yeah, you've got that Claire who used to play for City of Manchester against us, so she'll know us fairly well. She's played against us five times now, I think, but we managed to keep most of them at bay, but it's what you want. We managed to get the victory, which is what we needed. Is there anything that was missing from the game for yourself, Luke?
No, not really. I mean, it's a tough one to, like say, to judge off. Like say, cup football is a little bit different than league football, and you know, people's motivations are different, and people's setups are slightly different. So no, it was just literally to get the win in today, and just make sure everyone got an ample amount of time on the pitch, and to get our form up a little bit. I felt like it was a better performance than the week before, so we're heading in the right direction. But it's going to be a tough game away at Tranmere that weekend, so yeah. we needed a bit of a test like that today to really set us up for that one.
Yeah, because Mark is always happy with a clean sheet, but you must consider yourself part of the defensive unit. You're always happy with a clean sheet as well, Fran?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, that's what we aim for week in, week out, so when we come off the pitch with one, it's definitely a good feeling.
Good. So let's hope we can possibly get one against Tranmere next week. We're playing them. We beat them 8-2 earlier in the season. I know it's quite a long time ago. But did you learn anything from when we played them that you could possibly use for the next game?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think they're currently sitting top of the league. So yeah. You know, that's we can't go there thinking we're going to win. You know, and win well. We've got to work for it. We've got to earn it. So. You know, there was a period in that game when they scored two quick goals, and I think it was might have been 5-0, and they took it back to 5-2, and then they had a bit of an up in the game, and I think we need to make sure that we're not complacent. You know, we beat them 8-2, but we can't go into that game thinking we beat them 8-2. We've got to go into that game thinking they're top of the league, and it's going to be a massive test for us.
Yes, that's exactly what it will be. It will be quite a test. Away from home is always a bit more difficult because you haven't got everything in your favour, and you've got the extra travelling on top of it and stuff, and hopefully not getting caught in the motorway snarl, like Blackburn Community were today. But we've got the victory. We're through into the next round. We've got a couple of away games, and hopefully the fans can come along and cheer us along.
Yeah, it'd be great to see everyone there. Like I say, I'm sure this group's got the resilience to pick up two results that we need on the road. So, yeah.
Super. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil.
Neil Boo there speaking with Luke Podmore and Fran Davies following FC United's 3-0 win over Blackburn Community on Sunday afternoon. And that's it for This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesdays at 12:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.